which covers about 2,500 years. And so for the first 2,500 years, individuals were on this earth, they didn't have a Bible. What'd they have? Well, what about Adam? That'd be a rather good thing, would it not? What about Enoch, who walked with God? The book of Jude said Enoch prophesied. And so now then, in addition to talking about Noah being a preacher of righteousness and Abraham being called a prophet, now the book of Jude talks about Enoch. What do you remember about Enoch? He did not die. How did he walk? Is that a good way to say that? Can you quote Hebrews 11? By what he walked? By faith he walked with God. Where's faith come from? Oh, he was, some way he knew about God. Yeah. And exactly how that went about and how that came about. Wonder who Enoch's son was. Anybody know Enoch's son? My grandfather used to give me all these riddles, gave me this one. The oldest man that ever lived died before his father did. There's your one. I love the way my granddad would just give me little Bible riddles and make me go try and... You go figure this one out, Dan. The oldest man... I know who the oldest man to ever live was. You do too. But he died before his father did. Well, then his father's got to be older. No. What happened to his father? He did not die. He was... And so here's this man who by faith walked with God. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Some way, somehow, God gave a message to him. He embraced that message. Whether it's the Holy Spirit revealing messages or whether it was because the Bible talks about the Spirit of Christ was in Noah and those souls that are now in prison, the Spirit preached to them when they were on this earth. So some way by the Holy Spirit, there was revelation. Now, having said all of that, we get 2,500 years down the road and we still don't have one page of the Bible being written. So now then, Moses begins writing the Bible, and Moses says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Where'd that come from? It came from God. It came from God. So Moses writes the next, after the book of Genesis, he writes Exodus. Named Exodus, why? Because they exited. You know, you've heard me say, and Scotty, you were not here, but my English teacher in high school was wrong. The best way to define a word is to use the word. I just think that's the stupidest rule there's ever been. Exodus is exiting.
She's an English teacher.
I know that, and if she tells her kids that, God's going to talk to you on the day of judgment, or he's going to get me for what I just said this morning, one or the other, okay? We are both in trouble one way or the other. But Exodus, exiting. Exiting where?
From Egypt.
Egypt. How'd they get down the land of Egypt? Well, Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, and Joe. Oh, yeah, I remember that story about Joseph. Joseph went down into the land of Egypt, and he brought his family down to the land of Egypt, and then all of a sudden another Pharaoh arises who does not know Joseph, and the people are put in bondage. So Moses writes about the story of the Exodus. And then he writes the third book, and that is what? Leviticus. If you'll look at the first four letters of Leviticus, L-E-V-I, that's the priest. All of the priests came from the tribe of Levi, and so here's a book that is called Leviticus. What's in Leviticus? Priestly stuff. I mean, just flip through that, and we did that, a couple of weeks ago. We just went through there and looked at all of the sacrifices that were there. So much of it. And then, after Leviticus, you've got the book of what?
Numbers.
Now, you see the S on the end of Numbers? Wonder why it's there. Well, why is it called Numbers, first of all? Why is the book called Numbers? That's where they number the people, took a census. Now, they took a census while they were at Mount Sinai. After they left the land of Egypt, they were at Mount Sinai for a year, and they take a census there. And they know exactly how many people above 20 years of age, not counting the tribe of Levi, who are capable of going to war, who left the land of Egypt. Got a catalog of all. They count the number of people. But the name of the book is not number. They numbered the people twice. And that S on the end of the book of Numbers is the way I remember. They numbered them the second time. They numbered them when they left the land of Egypt. And right before they go into the promised land, they count them again. And that allowed them to say that of the 603,550 individuals who left Egypt in that first numbering, two of them survived to go into the promised land. How do you know that? Well, they did a census, and 40 years later they did a census. Well, where are they during this 40 years? They're in the wilderness. God took them to the promised land. They were ready to go in. They said, "We cannot do it." And God said, "Because of your disbelief, you're not going to go into the promised land. You're just not going to go into that promised land." So the wilderness wandering. A man who picked up sticks on the Sabbath day, wonder where that is in the Bible. Where is Balaam cursing Israel? Where's that in the Bible? You know, where is Moses not sanctifying God when he struck the rock on that second occasion? Where's that in the Bible? Where is the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram when the earth opens up and swallows up 250 people and then closes back up? Where's that? It's all in the book of Numbers. It's the numbering of the people in the early chapters. I think chapter 2 gives you the number. And when you get over to the end of the book, they count them again. Everybody's dead. Or soon will die because nobody's going to go into that promised land except two men, Joshua and Caleb, go into the promised land. The fifth book of Moses. What is the name of the fifth book of Moses? And this is sort of new territory. We sort of introduced this, but we haven't spent a lot of time introducing it. I'm going to use the Pew Bible just so I can give you page numbers in relationship to this. The book of Numbers is on page 158. I don't know what page number it's on in your Bible. Why is it called Deuteronomy? All right. Can you look at the word Deuteronomy and recognize the first four letters of that word? Now, see, English teachers have trouble seeing those first four letters because it doesn't look like the word duet. But a duet is what? What's a duet? Two people. See, I feel sorry for people that only spell a word one way. I mean, some of us are just multi talented, you know, and spell words. No, in the Greek, it's the word. We got the word duet from this. But in connection with the other part of this word, and the last part of this word is nomos, duet, nomos, deuteronomous. Nomos is the Greek word for law. And so the name given to this book is Second Law. Now, why is this the Second Law? Well, where was the law first given? Book of Exodus, right? When they got to Mount Sinai? Look in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Just if you're in the book of Deuteronomy, I'm on page 164. Look in chapter 5, verse 6. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. You heard that before? Is this the second time you've heard this? Yes. Where did I hear it the first time? When the Exodus came about. Well, wait a minute. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. That's in verse 8. Is that somewhere else in the Bible? Yeah, over the book of Exodus, Second Law. Look in verse 9. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. Look at verse 11. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Moses is now nearly 120 years of age. Whenever, you know, Moses is in the last year of his life. I don't want to chase that rabbit, but he's the last year of his life. When you get to the end of the book, he's the last days of his life. And evidently, when he finishes, there are three sermons in here. When he finishes his third sermon, he goes up to the mountain and dies. That's how close he is to dying. So Moses says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Moses, where'd that come from? I brought it down on those tables of stones. I brought that down on the tables of stone. What did they do with the tables of stone? Where'd they keep it? In the ark, what? Ark of the what? Ark of the Covenant. Oh, okay. I think I got some idea of what was inside that box. And that is the covenant. It was the container of the covenant. So now then, you said, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." That was written by the finger of God. Okay, look at the verse 12. "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Where's that? Oh, it's over in Exodus chapter 20. Look down in verse 16. "Honor your father and your mother." And hurriedly reading 17 through 20, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness." And verse 21, "You shall not covet." And so when they get to Mount Sinai, Moses receives the Ten Commandments. Now, he writes the book of Leviticus while they're there because they kept the book of Leviticus right beside the Ark of the Covenant, on the outside of it. And so now they're beginning to have. Where did they keep the five books of Moses? Well, they kept them with the Old Testament they kept them on the outside of that ark. Some way, somehow, they laid the writings of Moses beside that. Now then, look at what Moses says. Well, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Can we back up to chapter 3 to get a time reference? The Lord was angry, verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 26. "The Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, 'Enough of that. Speak no more to me about this matter.'" Moses wants to go into the promised land. And God says, "Shut up." You know, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God says. If you can't speak as the oracles of God, do what? And I know it's not politically correct in this day and age to use the word "shut up." Isn't that rude? You can't tell anybody to do that. But I'm old enough, and most of you in here are old enough to know that's what your mama said. And you get the message. And so God says, "That's enough of that. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes toward the west, the north, south, and east, and behold with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. And for he shall go before this people, he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see." So we stayed in the valley opposite Mount Peor. This is right before Moses heads up to the mountain to die. And so Moses says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your father is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did in Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all of the men who followed Baal. But you who held fast to the Lord, your God, to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded you, that you should act according to the land which you go and possess. Therefore be careful to observe them. This is your witness and understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there that God has been so near to, as the Lord is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon Him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are all in this law which I set before you this day? Take heed to yourself, diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Especially concerning that day, you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb. What's Horeb? If I tell you it's a mountain, do you know another mountain that's somewhere in this account? Yeah, Mount Sinai. He says, now you remember this. And when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire in the midst of heaven, with darkness and cloud and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words. You saw no form. You heard a voice. Now watch this carefully. Verse 13, chapter 4, verse 13. So He declared to you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform the Ten Commandments. And He wrote them on two tablets of stone. What does that verse say? He declared to you what? His covenant. What is the covenant that He declared to them? Can you prove that from the Bible? He declared unto you His covenant, what? The Ten Commandments. And He wrote them on two tablets of stone. Now, there are some individuals who say, well, there is the moral law that gods have, and then there's the other law that has to do with animal sacrifices. You know. But the Ten Commandment law is called the covenant of God. He declared unto you His covenant, even Ten Commandments. What's the name of that box? The Container of the Covenant. And God wrote the Ten Commandments. God wrote the covenant. Now, I want you to understand, that's not Dan. That's God. And we can believe this. And the Word of God said that He declared His covenant, the Ten Commandments, to you. Now, that becomes critical. That really becomes critical in relationship to this. He declared unto you His covenant. We could read the rest of the chapter just to show the continuity of it. But get to chapter 5. Go to chapter 5, verse 1. Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Lord, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. What is that covenant? what does God say that covenant is? God says, chapter 4, verse 13, that He declared unto you His covenant, the Ten Commandments, and God wrote them on the tablets of stone. What did He write on the tablets of stone? He wrote the covenant on the tablets of stone. And so, verse 2 says, the Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Now here is a critical verse in understanding the Bible. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers. Now what's a covenant? Now can you prove the covenant is the Ten Commandments? How can you prove it? The Lord our God, chapter 4, verse 13, the Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord wrote them, the covenant, on the tablets of the stone, and they were told to put inside, build a golden box, and that box was called the Ark of the Covenant because the covenant was inside the ark. It was the container that held that. Now look at the verse. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked to you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up to the mountain. And He said, now then, He is discussing this covenant. And He said, the Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers. Now who said that? Is that something somebody in a theological seminary has been taught? You know, why do you believe that the covenant was the Ten Commandments? That's what the Bible says. Chapter 4, verse 13, He made a covenant, even Ten Commandments, and He wrote it on two tablets of stone. And the Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers. That's rather significant, isn't it? Now, what does that affirm about this covenant? God made the covenant. It was the covenant of the Ten Commandments. And the Lord did not make this covenant with the fathers. Now, don't you believe that if you believe it because Dan said it? Dan didn't say that. I just ask you to sit down and read the Bible. You read Deuteronomy chapter 4, and chapter 4 identifies what the covenant is, and chapter 5 says, and this covenant that He made with Horeb was not made with the fathers. Did Abraham keep the Ten Commandments? Nope. Were there moral laws for Abraham? Oh, absolutely. Let me see if I can illustrate this. Sometimes, as we think about laws, sometimes we fail to recognize that laws can have some of the same precepts. Did Abraham bear false witness? Abraham ever lie? Yeah, he lied. What lie did he tell? Said, my wife's my sister. You know, it's not right. And God brought judgment on the man who took Abraham's wife on the basis of what Abraham had said. Was it wrong for him to lie? Yeah. Did he break one of the Ten Commandments? No. Why? The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers. Was it morally wrong? Yes. But the fact that there's a law and then another law and another law does not change the fact. that the Bible said this covenant was not made with our fathers. Did Abraham keep the Sabbath? You see, all of a sudden, you know, the Seventh-day Adventists, who are called Seventh-day because they keep, they worship on Saturday, and those individuals say, well, Abraham kept the Sabbath. Do you know, for a person to say that, they are making it up. Do you know what the Bible says about Abraham keeping the Ten Commandments? The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers. Any record of Noah keeping the Sabbath? No. Well, what about Enoch keeping the Sabbath? No. And for a person to say that Adam kept the Sabbath, and Enoch kept the Sabbath, and Noah kept the Sabbath, and Abraham kept the Sabbath, and Isaac kept the Sabbath, and Jacob kept the Sabbath, comes out of somebody listening to somebody other than the Bible. What does the Bible say about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers? What does the Bible say about them keeping the Sabbath? Not one single word, not one indication. Read all 50 chapters of Genesis, and there is not one indication at all that the Sabbath was kept. Does the Lord discuss those people in relationship to the Sabbath? Absolutely. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, where the Sabbath is specifically mentioned, after saying in chapter 4 and verse 13, He gave to you His covenant, even Ten Commandments, chapter 5, verse 2 and 3 says, He did not make this covenant with our fathers. You know, no, because all the Jews are the children of Israel. Who's Israel? That's Jacob. And so the children of Israel, during the time of Joseph, went down. The children of Jacob went down. There were 70 of them when they got down there. They're in bondage for 430 years. And then they come out. And so the children of Israel that went down to Egypt, the end of the book of Genesis, the children of Israel come out in the book of Exodus. And just by definition, there's no way for there to be other Israelites, other Jews, any other place, because all of the descendants of Israel were down there in the land of Egypt. And so there could not be that. Yes, comment.
Please tie that back to God rested.
I'm coming to that in a minute, okay? But I want us to see what is stated here. Now, do we have enough time to look in 1 Kings? Look in 1 Kings where Solomon dedicates the temple. When Solomon dedicates the temple, he brings into the temple the ark. 1 Kings chapter 8. It's on page 309 if you've got the Pew Bible. Verse 4, they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought it up. And Solomon and all of his congregation assembled with him and were before him, before the ark, sacrificing the sheep. And so then there is this description of what happens. They take the Ark of the Covenant, verse 6, into the most holy place. Verse 8, there are those poles that extend out because you're not allowed to touch that Ark of the Covenant. Now look at verse 9. Nothing was in the Ark of the Covenant, except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there in Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. What was inside the Ark of the Covenant? The only thing that was in there were the Ten Commandments when the Lord made a covenant. Now, what do we know about this covenant? He did not make this covenant with our fathers. Look in 2 Chronicles. Look in 2 Chronicles, where Second Chronicles chapter 5. Here is the parallel in, it's on page 388 if you have the Pew Bible. Verse 7, chapter 5, verse 7, the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to the place of the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place. Look at verse 10. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. When did the Lord make the covenant? He made the covenant when He brought them out of the land of Egypt. You know what Deuteronomy 4:13 said? You got to Mount Sinai, you got to Mount Horeb, and the Lord made a covenant, even 10 commandments. And here in two places, 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles, the Ark of the Covenant had only within it those tablets of stone when the Lord made the covenant. Now then, that is significant. And I want to emphasize once again, for anybody who writes a book, any preacher, anybody in a seminary, anywhere, any individuals on this earth to say, I know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob kept the Sabbath, is to deny what the Bible said. He did not make this covenant. Now, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and look at the why the covenant was given. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. That's on page 164. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. How do you keep the Sabbath day? Well, because when you get to the New Testament... I hate that. When you get to the New Testament, Jesus worships on Saturday in a synagogue. People said, therefore in the Old Testament, they had Saturday synagogue worship. Absolutely wrong. You don't read synagogues in the Old Testament. How do you keep the Sabbath? Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall do labor and all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no works, you nor your sons, your daughters, your male servants, your female servants, your ox, your donkeys, nor any cattle, nor strangers who are within your gates, that your male and your male servant and your female servants may rest as well as you. What's the word Sabbath mean? What is the Sabbath day? It is a rest day. How do you observe the Sabbath day? You rest. And on the Sabbath day, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What do I remember on the Sabbath day? Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, because you were slaves in Egypt, therefore, the Lord commanded you to keep the Sabbath. You who? You individuals who are there in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Did He command the fathers to keep the Sabbath? No. Why? They had not been slaves in the land of Egypt. Why do you not keep the Sabbath? I've been a slave in the land of Egypt. My heritage has nothing at all to do with Egyptian bondage. But because they had been slaves in the land of Egypt, the Lord says, when you go into that promised land, I'm giving you a rest day. What do you do on that day? You do nothing. You remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. And your fathers and Gentiles have no part of that at all. But somebody says, wait a minute. What about Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, that when God created the heavens and the earth. Don't ring that bell, David, and give me 2 extra minutes if you can. Genesis chapter 2. On the seventh day, the Lord, verse 2, ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested, which took place first, the blessing of the Sabbath day or the resting? Why did God sanctify the Sabbath day? Because he rested. God rested. And God kept the... And therefore, whenever they came out of the land of Egypt, God had a rest day. You're going to have a rest day because you were slaves in the land. Well, why on earth is this in the book of Genesis? Critical point. Get this, and then when you ring the bell, who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses wrote the book of Genesis. And so Moses is not saying God revealed at that time the keeping the Sabbath. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 9, or maybe it's chapter 9 verse 8 said, he made known to you his Sabbath at Mount Sinai. It was unknown before that time. Before they lived in Egypt, they didn't know about the Sabbath. Well, who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses did. Moses writes, 2,500 years later and looks all the way back to that day, and he said, God blessed that day and sanctified it. When did God reveal that he had sanctified the Sabbath? Not to Adam. God didn't say, Genesis does not say, God let Adam and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob know about all of this. He made known to you his Sabbath day at Mount Sinai. So it was not known prior to that time. And we need to understand that. Look in Matthew chapter 10. You've got the same situation in Matthew chapter 10 where you have the 12 apostles. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is ready to send the apostles out, and the apostles' names are listed. In verse 3, we start reading about Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas, Matthew chapter 10, and verse 4 on page 857, Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Had Judas betrayed Jesus in Matthew chapter 10? No. When did he betray Jesus? Well, chapter 27. Who writes these words? Moses does, because Moses, after the event, could say, now I want you to know, this Judas is the one who betrayed him, and I'm putting it here, but I'm going to tell you later in this book when he did it. And that's the exact same thing. Genesis chapter 2, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. When did God make that known? And when I read this verse, you can read, ring the bell. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 8 says, verse 13, I was wrong when I said 9:13. You came down on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heavens and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes. You made known to them your holy Sabbath. Where? When God came down to Mount Sinai, that's when God made known the Sabbath to mankind. Start here again next week.